So that gives us about 40 minutes. I'd like to, if we could, Representative Pepin, give an opportunity for members to ask questions once your testifiers get through. But with that, I'll turn it over to Representative Pepin.
Thank you. Did you, Mr. Chair, did you get some articles in my old bill? Not sure.
They are on their way, Representative Pepin.
Okay. Thank you. Well, thank you, Chair Atkins. I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to come and do an informational hearing on this important issue, and thank you, members, as well, for coming. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about trademark law and specifically about a concept called trademark bullying. I have with me Mr. Lorenzo Borghese. He's an Italian-American businessman who's a member of the Italian House of Borghese and is a cosmetics entrepreneur who owns a pet products company called Royal Treatment Italian Pet Spa. I also have with me Rob Linden, who is a local small business owner who owns a spray foam insulation company called Thermalwise Insulation. They're both here to tell their trademark stories and why we believe that something needs to be done to prevent trademark bullying. Mike Hickey from the National Federation of Independent Business will likely also be here to speak briefly on our legislation, as he's done a poll amongst his membership in support of reforming trademark law. Before they speak, I want to talk just a little bit about trademark law and specifically about trademark bullying, because I know probably your exposure to the concepts are somewhat limited if you're not an attorney. Trademark law in this country is governed by the Federal Lanham Act, which became law more than 60 years ago. The Lanham Act provides for a national system of trademark registration and protects the owner of a federally recognized trademark against the use of similar marks if such use is likely to result in consumer confusion or if the delusion of a famous mark is likely to occur. The scope of the Lanham Act is independent of and concurrent with state common law. The Lanham Act defines a trademark as any word, name, symbol, or device, or combination thereof used in commerce to identify and distinguish one's goods, including a unique product, from those manufactured or sold by others, and to indicate the source of the goods, even if that source is unknown. A trademark can be anything as long as it signals to the consumer the specific product's origin. In the last few years, the term trademark bully has entered the lexicon of legal scholars and trademark attorneys alike. The United States Patent and Trademark Office defines a trademark bully in this way. A trademark bully is a trademark owner that uses its trademark rights to harass and intimidate another business beyond what the law might be reasonably interpreted to allow. In other words, a trademark bully is generally a large company that tries to intimidate smaller companies through expensive legal action that could result in financial destruction of the smaller company. Last year, a group of stakeholders began to look at ways in which we could address trademark bullying in Minnesota. I introduced House File 2996 along with Representative Hillstrom. The legislation would have created a process of alternative settlement through the Office of Administrative Hearings. We're currently working on the legislation and looking for additional ideas on how to address the problem. And at that time, unless there are any general questions on trademark bullying, trademark law, I will turn it over to Mr. Borghese for his story.
Mr. Borghese, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. I really appreciate it. From what I understand, none of you have to be here. This is an optional meeting, and I really thank you for your time. I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to talk in legal terms. I'm just going to tell you my story the best I can in the shortest amount of time I can. My company, Multimedia Exposure, is being sued for trademark infringement. My family, which is the last name of Borghese, can be traced back to the 1200s. We've had a pope in our family. We've had numerous famous people, including Paulina Bonaparte Borghese, that was Napoleon's sister. We have a very famous museum in Rome called Galleria Borghese that once was owned by my family, as well as one of Rome's largest park, Villa Borghese. And there's a rich family history there that, unfortunately, a company called Borghese Inc., which is a cosmetic brand that my grandmother started years ago, she passed away in 2002. The company is now owned by a Saudi royal family, and they are multi-billionaires. And this company is not only trying to take away the fact that I'm using my own given name and history on my pet products, which is called Royal Treatment by Prince Lorenzo Borghese, but also the right for me to use my family history. Additionally, we have a fragrance line called Casa de Francesca, which they're suing us for, because we have a crest on there that says infringes upon their crest, which looks nothing like their crest. Again, I don't want to get into the legal terms. I'm just trying to give you guys all sort of an aspect of what's going on. Now, we hired one of the most famous and best law firms in New York City called Baker Botts for IP. When they saw the case, they said, oh, this is a slam dunk. There's no way they're going to win this. There's so many issues with this, no problem at all. And they gave us a budget of under $1 million to fight this case and win. About 2 years later, we are $4 million in debt. We still haven't gone to court. We have a very small company. As of last week, we had to let two employees go, which is 33% of our employees. One woman is close to 60 years old. She just got out of the hospital from back surgery. She is the only person in her family that works, and she supports her children and her husband. The other woman we had to let go is in her mid-40s. She has four children. One is autistic. She is the only breadwinner in her family as well. And when we sat him down and told him we've exhausted all our money defending what I believe is our First Amendment and we have to let you go, they broke down and started crying. Now, I want you all to realize that this is a real problem with real individuals behind it. When a company that has billions of dollars is suing a company that actually I think we barely broke even this year, and we have employees that need money in order to survive, and the way our legal system is set up, at least the way I see it set up, is it's not about who's right that wins these trademark lawsuits. It's about who has the most amount of money. And unfortunately, there's games attorneys can play to keep your expenses rolling. There's documents they can file. There's appeals they can make that make it almost impossible for a small company to continue fighting for what we believe is our legal rights. Just to put this more in perspective for you about what damages this has done to my family, my father's here behind me, and he's there. He's turning 75 this year, has been semi-retired until this lawsuit came up. This lawsuit has essentially pulled him out of retirement. He's selling his house in New Jersey. His retirement plan is gone. My mother, who's turning 70, her half of retirement plan is gone. My brother, who owns a business with me, is putting his house up on the market for sale, just sold his car, and is moving to Florida. And to me, I think it's just appalling that a nation as great as America will allow this type of bullying to continue and not protect the small businesses. We are fighting against someone and companies that have much more backing than we do. And what I've learned in these past few years, again, is who has the more amount of money is going to win every time. And I believe something needs to be done. And I'm here not just to speak upon myself, but for all small businesses and families and people that want an equal opportunity to grow their own brand and their own name by their own hard work here in the United States. And that's essentially my story, as brief as I can get into it.
So just so we're clear, Mr. Borghese, your last name is Borghese?
Yes, my last name is Borghese. My grandmother, Princess Marcella Borghese, started the cosmetic line. My father has been in cosmetics ever since the 60s. My mother and brother have been on TV for 20 years selling cosmetics on QVC and HSN using their name and their family history. I have a pet line, again, called Royal Treatment that I began 12 years ago. I'm an animal advocate. I have my own animal charity made up of all non-compensated employees, all volunteers. I'm a spokesperson for the American Humane Association, and it comes to a time in my life where I believe I've earned the right to use my own name when I sell my products and the right to tell my own history when I sell my products. And I believe it is going against the First Amendment, my rights to tell who I am in my story.
Well, you just you got me a little worried, because your last name is Borghese. All you want to do is use your last name of Borghese. My last name's Atkins. There's this Atkins Diet folks out there, and I'm now a little afraid they're going to start sending me nasty letters for using my last name. But as I do on occasion, I refer to the Atkins Diet. This is like putting Minnesota on the Atkins Diet, things like that. I'm running a little scared now. But in seriousness, what prompted me was there's another gentleman here today as well, and I know Representative Pepin. There's an article in the Star Tribune about this very topic happening in Minnesota. Where you've got big businesses trying to intimidate some little folks into not even being able to use their name. And it sounds like it goes way beyond the borders of Minnesota to the sort of thing that's happening nationally. And it's very troubling to see. What I'd suggest is if you're going to be able to stay for a little while longer, I'd like to get all of the testimony in, and then I suspect members may have some questions as well. So, Representative Pepin, do you have other witnesses too?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks for your understanding of this topic. And I will point out that I actually just got a call from Representative Myra last night, who said one of her constituents is facing the very same problem. So it is out there, and you know, we've got two people losing their job with this business. You'll hear from Mr. Linden about the same type of concerns, because if it's a small company and they don't know what's going to happen with a lawsuit, it makes it very, very troublesome to try to expand. So with that, I'll have Mr. Linden come up.
And Mr. Borghese, thank you. There is an opening for a Pope, I understand, by the way, Mr. Borghese. So if you know,
I'm looking into it.
Mr. Linden, welcome to the committee. If you'll just identify yourself and then proceed.
Certainly, Chair. Thank you for this opportunity and representatives. My name is Robert Linden. I'm the owner of Thermalize Insulation. It's a small Minnesota business based in Columbia Heights. I registered the company in 2008 with the state of Minnesota, and have maintained a website of thermalizeinsulation.com since 2009. Prior to registration of the name, I searched domains, search engines, things like that, for names similar, used out in the trades and such, and I also searched the trademark electronic search system for trademarks that would be similar possibly to make sure I wasn't infringing on anybody's name. So I felt I did due diligence prior to my registration with the state. I also searched the state of Minnesota's database for the name availability for trade name starting a business in the state. It was available. So on October 19th, 2011, I was contacted by Questar's Gas Company, a Utah utility, with a C&D letter that demanded I stop using my domain and my trade name.
Let me stop you for just saying, you said a C&D letter. For members that might not be aware of what that is.
Sorry, Chair Atkins. It's a cease and desist letter. Essentially, it states you must stop using today the names, any names confusingly similar to, and you must stop using the web domain. Otherwise, they'll consider it in willful infringement at that point because you've been made notice that this company exists. So October 19th, I was 3 days newly married. My insulation business was profiting, and Thermalize Insulation provided part-time jobs for 3 subcontractors and was preparing to hire its first full-time employee. When I contacted a trademark patent attorney about my cease and desist letter, I was encouraged that I had a strong case based on numerous points in the criteria for determining trademark infringement. So I had him draft a response. Questar and I had some back and forth on the issue until they filed suit in January of 2012 in the Utah District Court, claiming federal trademark infringement and Utah state trademark violations. This action forced me to hire an out-of-state counsel, as I only operate within a 200-mile radius of Minneapolis. Thermalize Insulation's plans for providing employment were put on hold. Given the uncertainty of the future. A small business with limited means against a well-funded company would change anyone's life. Thermalize Insulation is a small business built on principle. I maintained my innocence in this matter, so I filed a motion for venue challenge. Questar willfully withdrew the case after receiving the challenge. In March of the same year, 2012, requester filed a complaint with what's known as the UDRP, also known as the forum. It's where you settle domain name things. It was sponsored after the dot-com boom when people were, you know, unlawfully buying other people's names and selling them. So over my domain of thermalizeinsulation.com, the claim by the forum was denied. So then in April of 2012, Questar filed suit in Utah State District Court in the state of Minnesota for trademark infringement and unfair competition. So back and forth motions, as has been stated. September comes around and we decide to go on the offensive. So we filed a petition to cancel their trademark with the TTAB, which is a trademark trials and appeal board. Unfortunately, the TTAB suspended the proceeding and the petition because we were in civil litigation. So they won't weigh in on something until the outcome of the district court is heard, and then they'll go back and do their decision. So as of last week, both parties have filed motions for summary judgment. Now we have a hearing scheduled for April 23rd to see whether this goes to trial, which has been slated for July of this year. You know, the last 17 months have been a struggle. Newly married, as I said, thrusting my wife into uncertainty and putting the burden of legal fees on top of other bills. This with a business that suffered 70% decline in its sales because of the publications of the online adjusted dockets and things like that. When you can search for a company, you can see that lawsuits are pending, and I have three of them over my head right now. And so nobody's going to do business with a small business that works on homes and small businesses as well with that kind of litigation hanging over their head. So I've been forced to abandon all business plans and prepare for the worst. You know, I'm a fourth generation in Minnesota, and I know Minnesota's small business proud. That's why I'm disappointed to find out that there is no support for small businesses suffering from these acts of unfairness. The legislation being contemplated may not have helped in my particular case, but like the UDRP forum, it could have been an alternative to district court. I knew starting a small business that I had to perform due diligence. I felt this, I did this through my CERT efforts. You know, getting into the proverbial pool of business shouldn't mean that all of us are thrown in the deep end. Even to be found, if I were to be found guilty of trademark infringement for my actions, a streamlined process would benefit everyone. The infringing behavior would be mitigated faster, avoiding dilution and damages. It would also let the parties get back to work. A lesson learned instead of losing everything that they and their families have worked hard for. I'd like to thank you again for letting me say my story.
You know, Mr. Lynn, and I was questioning when Representative Pepin is very persistent, I might add, and when she came to me with this idea of holding a hearing and not necessarily taking action because we wouldn't have legislation before us, I'm skeptical about doing that because I'm taking a lot of people's time. But the testimony that you just provided tells me I made the right decision, and I appreciate Representative Pepin persistent in her efforts to have this heard, because we ought to do something. And we are taking questions at this point. Representative Davids, your comments?
Just a quick comment while we're switching gears here a little bit to the next witness, but there's a broker-dealer, just to try and help the witness out a little bit, there's a broker-dealer owned by, I think, Allianz Life over in Golden Valley called Questar, spelled exactly the same as this gas company, so you may want to go after them for their infringement and kind of let them have it. And when Mr. Borghese was talking, he did make one error. He said he was going for the best law firm, and I thought it would probably be Atkins and Atkins.
Well, you know, I was making a pitch for it earlier. But
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Representative Atkins, I just wanted to point one thing out, too, and I'm not sure if it was clear in the testimony. Questar is actually a utility, and so they don't have a charter. Their charter only allows them to compete in their region, which is, I think, is Utah and Idaho. They can't even compete in Minnesota, which makes this particularly ridiculous in my mind. So I just wanted to point that out.
Thank you, Representative Pepin. And for Mr. Linden or Mr. Borghese, if you weren't spending all this money on legal fees, how would you be spending the money?
I would be hiring employees, Chair Atkins. I'd be expanding my business, getting better known for the quality work I do instead of causing trouble.
I like that answer. And Mr. Borghese, you undoubtedly would be hiring folks here in Minnesota.
I would absolutely be hiring to Minnesota. But seriously, we would have loved to have given our employees a raise rather than let them go. We were on a we were a growing company, and what I left out is now I'm trying to sell my company. I might be out of the pet business altogether. You know, it's been 12 years, and I think I've made a lot of strides in my business, not only in growing the brand, but also in helping animals. And it's taken me away from everything I've ever done. And then seeing my father and the pain he's been through with having to fund part of this, actually the majority of it, and he has no, as I said, his retirement plan is gone. He's selling his house, and he's turning 75. And he's doing this to protect my right to use my history. Obviously, he knows that he's not in business anymore, and it's not about protecting his right. He could care less about even using his last name, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dad. But
he's about to hit you over the head, I think. He's coming up.
No, but
I think he's still pretty proud of that last name and wants to be able to use it, too. But I know as a father of some sons, it's even more important that they be able to use the name that we're proud of.
That's correct. So, yes, the long answer is that I'd be growing the business and hiring new employees and obviously giving people raises because the two women we let go were fabulous employees.
Okay. Representative Fritz, I believe, has a question as well. Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to the testifiers, too. You know, you remind me of my sons. I have a son who is a fifth-generation businessman in the town that I'm from. And he has his name on his business, and now I'm concerned and worried. And then, you know, and your business is something that my husband and I would probably need. And I definitely need your cream, your dad's cream. I wonder if he brought any with him. We could try it out. And I know the you know, the both businesses and the entrepreneurial, you know, family, how important that family business is, and to take your name from you is like unconscionable. I can't imagine. And you know, and thank you, Representative Pepin, and I know I believe you are a lawyer now, and I'm surrounded by lawyers up here a lot of times, and I do learn from them, but I'm a consumer as well. And I think this is absolutely bullying. It's worse than bullying when we are in an economy where we're trying to promote business and work and help people and young people get a foothold and have a good business, and then something like this happens. So I really do appreciate you having this informational hearing, and I hope that we can go further with it in the near future to know people, tell people out there that we mean business, that we are good business people, and we want our children to be successful in Minnesota. So thank you, Mr. Chairman, for having this.
Representative Fritz. Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Pepin, when and maybe you can explain this to her, either these two fellows can explain it. I'm just curious, you had to go register with the state, and they gave you this, the okay and said you're good to go? Is that, I know that's very succinct, but...
Sure. Mr. Linden?
Chair Atkins, Representative Schoen. Yes, you do, but the state accepts no responsibility. Basically, you're just searching local entities that are registered with the state. So it's not, it's an informal search. It's basically just to make sure you're not competing against your neighbor. Even going beyond that, you can search other states surrounding you, their city and state websites for their databases, whether compiling that term or the name of the business or whatever is already registered with somebody. So, yeah, you register, you pay a fee, and then they pretty much give you enough rope to hang yourself with.
Now just
about it.
So we're clear, by the way, the folks that are doing business, whether it's the Borghese or yours, they're not even in the business that you're in. Is that fair to say?
Chair Atkins, that's correct.
Okay. Mr. Borghese remotely in the same vicinity, but still want to use your
they,
last name?
You know, Borghese sells products for people. Since this lawsuit was filed, on my birthday, they put an ITU intent to use of Princess Marcello Borghese on pet products, and Borghese and Villa Borghese, etc., all sorts of different Borghese, variances for intent to use on pet products, a business I, again, have been in for 12 years. And, you know, I think that's how they're trying to attack this case in a way. But no, I first of all, it's a different class of goods. You have people products and you have pet products. It's sold in different markets. There's a pet store and there's department stores. When you search, I would imagine if you search under pet shampoos, if you find Borghese creams under pet shampoos, I imagine there's something wrong with the internet. But what's more important, and I guess just as relevant, is my line's not called Borghese. My line is called Royal Treatment. And on the top of it, I buy Prince Lorenzo Borghese, which I put on my brand after I was on TV for about 4 years, where I had the number one pet show on HSN, where I was going on TV. HSN is in over 90 million homes. And I'm talking about who I am and my history and why I'm here. And I didn't start off with my name on my products. I only did it after I built my own reputation in the space. And this is one of the things I believe they're trying to take away from me. And for them to then go ahead and file trademarks in the pet space of Borghese after they've sued me, I see a lot of things wrong with it.
Mm-hmm. And Representative Schoen, I kind of cut in because I had a follow-up. Any other follow-up questions? Well,
Mr. Chair, that was kind of on the same track I was going up. I don't really have questions. I came in pretty happy this morning, and now I'm just mad as heck because this is ridiculous. I mean, this guy is getting bullied by some out of Utah, for crying out loud. And they can't even do business here. And I'm sorry, Mr. Borghese, I don't quite understand your company. I can understand his delineation quite a bit more because it seems completely different. But it seems like we got a bully on the playground and we need to take him out in the woods and get it dealt with. But maybe that's a bit direct. Maybe we can handle a little bit easier and nicer. But this is infuriating. So good luck.
Thank you. Are there other questions for either of the witnesses? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is from Mr. Linden. I noticed in the packet that we received that there is a list of different companies across the U.S. that have similar names to Thermalwise Insulation and Thermwise and so forth. Do you know if Questar has gone after these other companies in other states at all?
Mr. Linden.
Chair Atkins, Representative Anderson. I know that they have gone after Thermalwise.com, but that's not on there because it was just a domain that somebody had, and they took that domain out of default. They originally were going to buy it from the person that owned it, and then they took that out of default because the guy failed to respond to the UDRP. So anytime you register a domain, you secretly sign that agreement that says whoever the domain server is or the registrar, they have precedence over where that court proceeding would take place. So where I was, Network Solutions is through the forum, the UDRP. So I had to go through their process, and if I failed to do so, I would have lost my domain by default. So essentially, they just, what they call is they hijacked your domain is the term they use for it. So I know that the ThermoGuard at the bottom of the page in Utah is actually a listed company under Questar Gas's insulation services. So they, just like CenterPoint Energy does, I go to training for CenterPoint Energy and Xcel Energy, so they've put me on a list of people that know what they're doing from a guy that doesn't know what they're doing. That's essentially what that company was on their list. Now that company is no longer on their list, so I don't know what happened. And I've been trying to minimize my outreach to them because I don't want to cross those lines, you know, of exposure. I just want to follow the channels that we know are true instead of bringing other people into it.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Linden, this is maybe for Representative Pepin. I'm just wondering if Minnesota has something unique in our laws that they decided to go after him if they didn't go after any of these other ones. And I don't know if you found that in any of your research at all.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. I don't think there's anything unique in Minnesota's law. I think part of the problem is the Federal Lanham Act, to some extent, requires businesses to really aggressively protect their trademarks. And so that's part of the reason they do that. But the problem is that they're really going overboard in protecting their trademarks. I know one of the other cases that we're looking at, it was involving the words touch of. A Minnesota company got a cease and desist letter saying they can't use the words touch of because it infringed on some East Coast company's name. And it was just a small consignment shop. And so to an extent, there's a reason that companies want to protect their trademark, but we're really trying to find a way so that they don't go overboard. I hope that, just to kind of keep it high level. And Mr. Chair, I know we almost have to go, but I wanted to give Mr. Hickey an opportunity to just speak for a second if he'd like to.
Yeah, you indicated that he has done some sort of survey of his members or something like that. Mr. Hickey, can you share that? Because obviously, anecdotally, these are important cases to us, but if Mr. Hickey's been able to survey his members to find out their concern about it, that would be helpful as well. Mr. Hickey, welcome back to the committee.
Well, thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mike Hickey with the National Federation of Independent Business. We're the state's largest business group in terms of entities with 13,000 members statewide, and this is pretty scary. I've had a few meetings with Representative Pepin, but it was really compelling to hear these stories. These stories of the witnesses. I don't have a lot to add, except that a real concern about what's next, and I think there's some real concern around the table here. We did do a survey of our members, and we were trying to work with Representative Pepin's first draft, and I know she's struggling with trying to get something done, and I wish we could get it done by 2 weeks from now, but maybe not. But our members did strongly support the state doing something to try to provide a more affordable and rational way for small businesses to resolve these disputes. And, you know, what we've heard here today is so compelling, and so I sure hope Representative Pepin and others can struggle with the details and come up with something, and possibly even this year. But the examples are very compelling, and out-of-state utility harassing a Minnesota contractor, it does sound kind of unbelievable. And I guess with the growth of the Internet and the fact that so many people are trying to sell products on the Internet, this problem, Mr. Chairman, is probably only going to get worse, is people are going to make some assertion from another state just because we're all on the World Wide Web, maybe doing very little business on it, that somehow you're ripe to get a cease and desist order and be illegally harassed and maybe brought to your knees due to the fact that very few small businesses could ever prevail against an economic giant or any large, well-financed company. And as you know, Mr. Chairman, there's so many tools in the legal system to drag cases out and pile the expense up on the small business defendant.
What you say is, as I know, I wouldn't ever do such a thing, Mr. Hickey, but I've heard it's true. And I am...
didn't imply that, Mr. Chairman, but anyways, look forward to working with Representative Pepin and the rest of you. Possibly we can even come up with a remedy within the next 2 weeks. I don't know.
And thank you, Mr. Hickey, and to our witnesses. Representative Pepin, I'm going to give you the final word. I do want to, I think on behalf of all the members of the committee, obviously we recognize that there is a reason why we have trademark law. We believe that people should be able to protect their trademarks. I don't think Mr. Hickey or his members or Representative Pepin or the folks that came here today would argue with the fact that people should be able to protect their trademarks. But that being said, these are nightmarish efforts that go way beyond that, to the point of intimidation and harassment, and they're obviously wrong. And if the federal government won't step up and do something about it, then I think we should figure out a way here in Minnesota to do that. And I suspect, based on what I've heard from other members around the table, there would be some level of support for trying to figure out a way to do that. So, Representative Pepin, with that, the final word is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Wow, you did such a good wrap-up there. I don't think I need to give final words. That's exactly what we're looking for. We're looking for a bipartisan solution. I think this is something that we can all agree on. We need to have a solution to, because, you know, I mean, really in the legislature, one of our main concerns is making sure that people are at work and we're helping out small businesses, and it's about the economy. And so I just want to thank you again, Mr. Chair, for graciously hosting this informational hearing, and for members for coming and learning a little bit more about the issue. I'll continue to plug away, and if anyone has any additional ideas on legislation, how to address the problem, I'd appreciate any feedback.
Representative Pepin, Ms. Borghese, Mr. Linden, and Mr. Hickey, thank you all very much for taking the time. And members, I know this was out of order for us to have this committee time, and I appreciate your willingness to come and join us today. With that, we stand adjourned.